Poet Runners podcast. It's about poetry and running. And today we have Stephanie Elliott, and I wanted to get her last name because I don't want to destroy it. Stephanie, can you tell me her last name so I don't destroy it?
Sure, it's Prieto.
That's what I thought it was, but I just didn't want to, you know, say it wrong.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, it's, you know, people hate it when they get the last names wrong.
Yeah, a lot of people
know,
call me Prieto. They say Prieto.
it could have gone that way, and that would have been bad.
Yeah,
so
it would have made me
I
laugh.
Have two reasons. So I have two reasons for having you on the show. One, because you're a runner, plus also you're a poetry editor. You manage the publicity editor for Wesleyan University Press.
Yep, that's right.
So,
the publicist and web manager is the official name.
So you're creative and you run, but you told me you haven't been running as much as before now, I believe.
Yeah, partially because of winter. And
well, that's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, road conditions. As I get older, I'm more concerned about injuring myself, I guess, you know. That's the main reason why. I stopped running long distance a while ago, but I would still run, you know, go out for a run for like 3 miles or sometimes like even more like 5 or 8 miles, but I kept it to that, you know, lower amount. And then I found like this past winter, I really just didn't go at all. I don't know if I was just not motivated, the political climate. I live in an area where there's a lot of conservative Trump supporters, so I just don't really feel comfortable running by their houses, especially because I'm in a, you know, like a racially mixed relationship or marriage. That's a real, and also just my physical safety. I've had a couple of incidents with people harassing me when I've run. And as a woman, I just stopped feeling safe, basically. That's actually seriously one of the major reasons that just, you know, it's sort of kills your motivation when it's like freezing out in ice and you've had these bad experiences. So,
well, it is different when you're a man, when you run, but I remember when I was running up in Ferndale, it was like, it tends to be a little more of a gay area, and I don't care your sexuality, but I got a lot of highs and a lot of hellos and how you doing. So finally, I just turned around and just kept saying good morning, how you doing, and stuff like that. And just,
they
got used to me just saying hello and good morning. Instead of, you know, instead of reacting, leave me alone, I said, hello, hi, how are you? And the run seemed to be easier because they stopped, you know, trying to like hit on me. And I just kept doing my runs, but if I'd gone negative, it probably would have been, you know, it would have been the wrong way to go.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm friendly when I run. Like, I say hi to everybody. Like, if a guy says hi to me, or, you know, even, like, yell out from a truck, hello, or something, I'm always like, hi. But, yeah, I actually had, like, somebody throw a bag of trash at me. So that's not friendly, you know. And I didn't do anything. I was just running down the street, with, you know. So,
I live in Hollywood.
Like
I live in Hollywood. I had a woman actually asked me when I ran by her, do you have a spare phone? So the second time she asked me that when I ran by her, I said, I'll be right back. I wasn't going to come right back, but I figured, be a little sarcastic. Maybe she won't ask somebody next time, but that was
circle
out of nowhere.
Back. I'll circle back.
I just didn't see that coming. I mean, I expect people when I'm walking to ask me, do you have some crystal? Do you want to smoke some weed? Those I'm kind of used to, but do you have a spare phone?
That was
kind of out of nowhere. When you were running, what type of shoes did you prefer? Like what shoe were that you like? What brand?
Oh, I like Saucony and Asics. They're probably my
I use those
brands that I. Yep, the brands that I found that when I'd go on try on shoes, those are the ones I was drawn to. And I do plan to get back into running again now. It's really only been like 6 months that I haven't run at all. But now that the spring has come, I'm definitely going to get back out there. So, looking forward to it.
I understand it because I have a friend, Mafanwe, who lives like in New Jersey, like that area. And she tells me when it's that iced up, you can't run. And there's more chances of slipping, falling, and it's harder to run.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know
definitely.
Because I live in California. The worst I have is rain.
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to put ice cleats on the bottom of my shoes and run on a trail, because I like to do running on like the bike trails, the rail to trails, how they turn the old rail lines into walking trails.
Yep.
And biking trails.
Yep.
So what I would do is I'd have these ice cleats that I would put on the bottom of my sneakers and then go run on the trails in the woods. So I was running on ice. And people would walk by and be like, oh, be careful. They'd be so freaked out. And I'm like, oh, no, really, it's fine. But I think I'm too old for that now.
When running, do you prefer running in the woods and trails, or do you like running in the sidewalks and the streets?
I prefer trails. I prefer being
yep.
in nature. Definitely.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, I don't like having to contend with traffic that much, just because people are so unpredictable.
That gets to be a problem, It's kind of...
Yeah.
And it's like... And when you're running and you're going to go across and, the person in the car is just looking one way, but he doesn't look your way, and then, it's like 50-50 chance you're going to get hit.
Yep.
It's just not worth
it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you always have to be on your guard, which is not really, doesn't really, it's not conducive to the attitude that I like to have, at least when I'm running. It's like I like to be able to kind of be in my own little world. It's like I'm still aware of what's going on around me, but you don't want to have to react so quickly to something, like as a speeding car,
no.
You know what I mean? You're not in that zone. You're not in the same zone as a speeding car when you're out in a run.
Nope, it's a different zone.
Yeah.
I used to zone out running and not be careful, but now it's more like when I hit the sidewalk or there's a red light, even if I have the right of way, I still check because I don't know if someone's going to try to run the light.
Yep.
You don't know.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
So there's always
that
chance.
Yeah. It's the same here in Connecticut, too. People run red lights all the time, so you can't trust the lights, especially right after it changes. You have to wait a second and look. Yeah. See if there's any stragglers coming through the intersection,
Did you ever do any marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks?
Well, I've never done a marathon, but I've done half marathons and 5Ks.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I thought about doing a marathon, but it's just the training I think was too hard for me at that. I had some health issues, and I got up to 18 miles in my training, on a single run. And I did that a couple of times, but I felt kind of weak after. I didn't feel too good. And so I decided to cut back. And maybe I'll do it again in the future. I could always train again in the future for that. But at the time, it just didn't feel right. Yeah.
Well, distance is always, if you get used to distance, it's fine, but if you're not used to it, and I don't know, the first marathon I did killed me.
Yep.
And it's a lot, but it's every marathon's different because your body's different. It's just, greatest shape, but sometimes something will happen. You get a side ache, you get shin splints or something, it happens unexpected.
Yep. My dad did one marathon in Maine in October, and there was like a freak cold weather, like it froze, and he got so cold, he said it was just brutal, and his legs got so chafed. He hurt his legs. He never did another marathon after. Before that, he had done a number of triathlons, but that was his first and last marathon.
Wow. I know when it gets cold and my hands get, it gets really cold and I'm all covered up with my hands. My hands hurt when I run in the cold.
Yeah.
I noticed that, but I know it's a lot colder where you are. So, it's like when I talk to people that live in New York or like Connecticut or something like that, when I mention cold here, it's like your cold's nothing to our cold.
Kind
of understand that. It's kind of like we don't have below 40 or we don't have belows.
You have to get reacclimated every year to the cold too. You know, like you get used to the hot summer and then it starts again. But yeah, I actually like the cold. I like snowshoeing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the thing about running in the cold is strictly I don't like having to contend with the ice and cars on icy roads. So, but I actually enjoy being out in the cold exercising. Yeah, I think it's fun.
I mean, I probably try to get used to it because I hate not running, but I know people who run in that cold, but it's just, it kind of amazes me that, you know, they can actually do it.
Yeah. I think you
And
would
it's,
like it, you'd get used to it. You'd get used to it and probably like it too.
it takes a while. I mean, when it's cold here, it's not that cold, but when it's cold here, my body gets used to it. And when I stop running, that's when I feel cold. That's when it suddenly hits me that it's cold. But when I'm running, I'm fine.
Right, yeah.
It's,
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. It's like you just don't want to stop because once you stop, you're just like, oh my God, it's freezing.
Well, the thing, you know, a couple of months back, there was a downpour like 7 miles into my run, and I just kept going. It felt good. But then when I stopped, I felt the water.
Oh God, yeah.
But when I was running, I was fine. But as soon as I stopped, it's like I feel all this water coming down on me. It's kind of wild. It's kind of wild the state of mind you get into when you run, too. It's just like a focus, you know, you don't have for many things. Just have it for that one, that run. I like it. I mean, I enjoy the focus and I enjoy the calm that it brings me.
Me too.
It's kind of weird. It's like if I don't run, I feel like it's going to sound funny, but it's kind of, I need my fix.
Yep.
You know, I need to run.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, I like to dance too, so I've been doing more dancing, and that's probably why I haven't been running as much, because now I turn to that, especially in the winter, because it's inside, you know. So, I've been doing a lot of tap dance more recently, and that's really good exercise too, and good for focus. Like, it gets your mind off of everything else, you know.
Well, that's what the run does for me. I mean, I get more relaxed and I think better, I think. I think I can, you know, work things out of my head better when I'm, like, just running.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm, you know, when I'm running around trying to get things done, I have less focus for some reason. I have more focus when I run.
Yep. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Well, talk
like
a lot about
your
running.
Brain. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I cut you off. That was bad. Bad host.
Okay.
I got to get back in it. I know the thing, and the funny thing is I was really good at this like 10 years ago because I used to do this all the time, and now getting back into it, I'm just trying to, you know, listen and pay attention and find out when to come in. It's still a learning process.
Yeah.
You know, but I was going to ask you, how's the publishing working, you know, with poets and stuff like that?
Good. Yeah, the pandemic was interesting.
I could imagine.
But everything went pretty well. You know, we even had like our work study students still worked for us, but they worked remotely.
That's right.
And we'd been aiming towards going, you know, paperless for our work anyway. So at least for me, it wasn't that big of a transition. excuse me, my allergies have been bothering me today.
Oh man, I haven't had that allergy in a while. I'm kind of lucky.
Yeah. So I have my water here though. So that was interesting, and I think it was you know, good for the students. They appreciated still being able to work and have a connection still, you know, especially at the very beginning of the pandemic when it was really rather frightening for a lot of people, I think, you know. But yeah, we have new poetry books. We have a new Ray Armantrout book. We have a new Jack Spicer book. Do you know Jack Spicer?
I've heard of Jack Spicer. I'm not sure. I think I interviewed him a while ago, but I'm not sure because I interviewed a lot of people.
Oh no, he died a while ago. Like, gosh,
well, then
I
didn't.
Can't remember what year he died. Yeah,
before
we were born. Yeah. But
I know
you might
I've heard the name, and I
yeah You might have interviewed somebody that was talking about it, definitely.
Probably.
But yeah, so we did his collected work because he died when he was 40. And God, it's horrible. I can't remember what year he died in. Look.
That's young.
I think it was, yeah, I don't want to get it wrong. 65. I was thinking 60 and I was like, that's not right. 65. Yeah. He died in 1965. But yeah, we did his collected works, and now we've done his uncollected poetry and plays, which is, you know, a lot of work that has not been published before or has been, you know, impossible to find because it was, you know, in a small literary journal in the 50s or something, and, you know, really difficult for people to find today. So I thought that was something that it might interest people listening. There's a lot of Jack Spicer fans out there. He's kind of a cult figure now, I guess, is the best way I can think of to describe it at this moment. He was a San Francisco Renaissance poet.
Yep,
he was really focused on, very focused on the San Francisco scene and very insular. He was, unfortunately, a really bad alcoholic, but some of his poetry is just beautiful. I just find much of his work really took my breath away when I first read it. So that's what's new with the press. That, and oh, we just found out today that Ed Roberson, his book Ask What Has Changed, is a finalist for the Griffin Prize. That's Canadian Poetry
Nice.
Prize. Yeah, the international prize that they give. And they're just wonderful people up there, the Griffin Poetry Trust, that's what it's called. Excuse me. But yeah, they do great work. They made this wonderful little video of all the finalists, like with water and butterflies, and it was just so lovely. And they did the same thing a couple of years ago. Another one of our books was a finalist. It was How to Dress a Fish by Abigail Chibitnoy, and they did the same thing then, this really lovely video. I just thought it's so, so nice, you know, that they put so much effort into it. Yeah. So that's just new. We have a new dance book on Buto, which is the Japanese modern dance from it started in the 50s, the 1950s. Are you familiar with that at all? Have you heard of
it? No, I've heard of it, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it.
Yeah. It's just something that might interest you because it's really very physical. Like, since we're talking about running, that's like, and I like to dance. It's one of the things about dance that I like because it's really driven from like embodying and expressing like shock, because you know what really comes from the era right after the Japan for the atom bombs, and so it's like it's a very to me anyways, it's a dance that really embodies that shock and violence and that using the body to express all these different things. You really have to be in touch with your body. And in that, to me, it's the same kind of zone that I get into when I'm running, you know, that meditative space sort of.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Sounds interesting. I'll look it up after we talk. I mean, I see people at the gym, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've seen people dancing at the gym, working out, and they seem to enjoy it because it's physical and they seem to enjoy the dance moves that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to try anything.
You what?
No, I'm willing to try anything if it, you know, physically. I mean, I've tried jumping rope, but I still haven't got the hang of that one.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Jumping rope is fun. Yeah.
I can't do it. I still can't do it. I see these people doing it so
easy. Wow.
And it's like, I figured if I can run like, you know, 10 to 20 miles a day, I should be able to jump rope, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm surprised you can't. Maybe you should get a new jump rope.
You know,
have you only tried with one?
I've only
tried it probably
with one.
Is. What is it made out of?
It. That's like a little wiry thing.
Oh,
that could be it.
Get a different one, and maybe like something that has weight on it might help you too.
Huh.
Like to weigh it. Yeah.
I know it's kind of funny. I saw some guy walking with like some really thick rope, I go, what's that for? I jumped rope with it. I'm like, oh, man. I haven't even started, and this guy's walking around with, like, you know, jump rope that, like, weighs 10 pounds. I'm like, I feel defeated already. Not helping.
Oh, my God. What else do you like to do to cross train?
I lift weights in the morning before I run.
Yep.
I don't want to get too skinny. So I figure if I lift weights, at least I won't, you know, I don't want to be anorexic. I mean, I love running, but I know if I don't lift weights, I get really thin. I know people who are thin can really run fast, but, you know, I just don't want to be that thin.
Yeah.
As much as I like the speed, because I know I'm faster when I'm thinned out, but at the same time, I want to look healthy.
Right.
I don't want people asking me, did you eat today?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I did.
Well, maybe people
like
would start bringing you food. Yeah.
I've seen some really skinny runners that are pretty quick, you know, but then I've seen some runners that are, you know, my size or bigger that are pretty quick. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's the way I train, maybe it's the way I run, but, you know, I mean, I tend to run fast when I'm competing, but I tend to run, you know, I don't tend to stress out when I'm just running to run. I know a lot of people like to pace themselves, but I don't pace myself. I just run.
Yep. Yeah.
When you run, do you pace yourself? Do you set goals or you just run?
Well, you know, there was a time when I was training with a group of people where I used to, like, time myself and, set these different goals. But I really stopped doing that when I was running just by myself. Yeah. Like, I thought it was kind of fun for a while, especially at the track, like trying to run fast, you know, doing sprints. I found that kind of fun. But I pretty much stopped timing myself. And maybe I kind of do still a little bit, like, just because I'm curious, like, kind of glance at my clock or my watch or whatever. But I'm not, like, really strict about it, if that makes sense.
Well, I got a running watch, but, I mean, it just tells me how fast I'm running, but I don't stress out if I don't get a certain time. I just like knowing how many miles and how much time it took me.
Right,
but
yeah,
I don't beat myself up. I mean, I used to beat myself up, but now it's just like, I got it done. I mean, I ran 5 miles in 39 minutes. I'm happy with that, you know?
Right.
I mean, if I could get it done in 30 minutes, I'd be really happy. But, you know, it's like, I'm not going to, it's like, to the point you don't want to kill yourself trying to get somewhere. You just want to be able to enjoy it and be healthy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's really all about, for me anyways, just having, you know, enjoying it and staying in shape. And, like, keeping my metabolism up. And, you know, it generally makes me feel good all day long when I'm running. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm always hungry now. I always want to eat. And it's kind of like, you know, when they call me into work and they say, well, give you a New York steak if you come in, I'm like, ah, crap.
Yeah, you got me.
You had to buy me. Yeah, but, you know, it's like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, when I ran long
distances,
I used to fantasize about, like, what I was going to eat at the end of those long, long runs. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to, like, have some ice cream tonight, you know.
You know, it's one good thing that I've gotten from running for a while, but I used to, like, I'd eat for the cheese fries or, like, a cheeseburger and all that before, the night before. It would really screw me up in the morning, but now it doesn't matter.
Wow.
I think my metabolism's taking it in easier, and it's, I guess, the progression of running, my body can just eat about anything and not be upset the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
good.
Which
is kind of good and kind of bad. You know, it's kind of like, do I really want to eat this stuff?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, you mean it's bad because it doesn't deter you from eating it? What do you mean?
No, it's kind of like it got to the point where I could eat anything. You're like, do I really want to? You know, because it's like, but the metabolism gets so, you know, that you have to put more in to, like, stay healthy too, I think.
Yep. Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
You gotta figure out the balance of what you need to put in, what you don't need to put in. And it's like, you put too much in, then that's a problem. But if you put not enough, then the next day you notice it too. I noticed that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely had to, like, intentionally eat more for a while when I was running long distances. like I remember thinking, God, I really have to eat something because, you know, I lost, I wasn't like underweight or anything, but I could feel it. Like I felt tired, you know, I started to feel like kind of weak. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I'm not eating enough. It's like, I'm not even trying to lose weight and I'm losing weight, you know?
I noticed that I have to keep at least a certain amount of food in myself to be able to run well and to be able to train well.
Yep.
But if I don't, if it's too little, I don't even want to try to lose weight anymore. If I get to the weight that I want to get to, I'll get there, but I'm not going to, you know, kill myself trying to get to a certain weight. If it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it might not be a good thing for my body to get too low.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you might be pushing it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, did you ever do any of the supplements like glucosamine, any glutamine, any stuff like that?
No, I thought about it before, but I really never got into it. No.
I'm not even sure if it works half the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder.
You know, I mean, the pre-workouts work just because you know you're jittery. So you know they're doing something. You know the caffeine they put in there is making your heart bounce. Is it good?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it is, but sometimes it just makes you jittery. You know, so it's a matter of being careful what you take. And it's like, I love when they say, if you take this pill more than once a day, that's bad. It's like, you know, there's some nut out there probably taking it more than once to twice a day. It's probably hurting themselves because someone told them not to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, what will happen if I take a whole bunch of it?
Oh, it's like, you know, they have things to cut you up, and it's like, well, maybe if I take three of these, I'll be really cut, and it's like, now you'll be really sick, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah.
It just amazes me, the things, how we train, you know?
Yeah. I guess I just always stuck to, like, trying to eat healthy, and, like, make sure I, you know, get a good variety of food and, that was really all I would do. I didn't take any supplements really at all. And even like sometimes before I would work out or go running, I'd like to have talking about caffeine, just a little coffee, you know, like get up in the morning and have like a small cup of coffee.
Well, I hear coffee is good for runs. One cup of coffee is good before you run. And not two to three, but one cup is good, I heard.
Yeah. I always felt good. Like I never felt, you know, it didn't make me dehydrated or anything like that. You know, I always felt fine. So, but I drink a lot of water too. So, in general.
Yeah, me too, actually. A lot. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
The body, I mean, if you run enough, you need water and you gotta make sure you get enough. I mean. I know I noticed when I need it. I mean, at work, I think from running, the water tastes really good going down because the body wants it, and it feels like a relief when you put it in.
Yeah, yeah.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I noticed the community of runners are really friendly towards each other when you run by each other.
Yep.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They respect what you're trying to do. You respect what they're trying to do, and it's like, you know, I like that. I like the atmosphere at marathons. I like the atmosphere at 5Ks, at 12Ks. I mean, at the half marathons, people are really friendly.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I've never really met any obnoxious runners yet. Thank God. I haven't met any with real attitudes. They've all been friendly and they've all been supportive.
Yep. Yeah. I find, like, I trained with a group for the Leukemia Society to raise money.
Oh, nice.
It's the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I'm looking up to see what their run is called. I can't remember. Team in Training. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Team in Training. And they have
there
a program where you can train. You train with people and for either a marathon or a half marathon. And you also do some fundraising for the Leukemia Society. And when I, like, had recently, you know, was pretty recently after I moved to Connecticut, I thought I wanted to get back into running again. And I thought, well, this will be a fun way to do it and, you know, meet people And yeah, I had a great time. Yeah, it was really fun. So yeah, I mean, that in that environment especially, everybody was very supportive, and yeah, it was good. I think you can find really fun people in the running community, definitely.
I met Benny running the. I met my friend Benny over at running a half marathon at Griffith Park, and we've become friends. And you know, he's very supportive. He's helping me get runners for the show because I know more poets than I do runners at this point.
Oh wow!
but at the same time, poetry and running is what I love. That's why I want to do the show. I want to talk about two things that I care about. And I love writing poetry, and I love running. So. That's the whole process of this show for me, is to talk about two things that I love and see maybe putting together two different groups will, you know, tune in.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. Yeah.
I've always liked bringing people together. It's like I like bringing different poets together for readings that you would normally wouldn't see together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
So it's. And that's what I like about anthology, is, you know, when you see a whole bunch of different poets and different, you know, in a book, and, you know, you get to learn about different writers.
Yep.
So I really enjoy when, when anthology's done well and you maybe find a new writer that you, you know, actually want to read.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know,
it's sort of like, like the best American poetry at the end of the year and, the best American short stories. It's another volume I really always enjoy. Like, it's just always such a variety. You never know what's going to come next, you know? It's like the element of surprise.
Well, I remember this big jazz anthology that was really nice. It had a bunch of jazz poems that were great. I mean, I love the different genres of poetry that there are, you know? There's all types of, you know, there's all types of way to run. I love Langston Hughes, and he rhymes well, but the thing that bothers me about people trying to rhyme now, it's like, it doesn't have the same craft, say, like Langston Hughes or somebody from that time.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. People say I'm judgmental, but I just really want the poetry to be good, you know?
Yep.
You know, I don't want to be harsh, but it's just, I want to be able to enjoy what I'm hearing. And there's certain poets, I'm not going to mention his name, his poem's great on paper. And I worshipped his writing, and then I heard him read, and I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, wow.
I wish I never heard him read loud, because he didn't have the same energy that the poem had on paper.
Oh, wow.
And it was,
he should
it
hire
was,
somebody
it was just
to read for him.
But it was wild to me. The energy that's in the poem when he writes it, was there, but then when he read it out loud, not the same energy.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
Yeah, you know, and then you got people like Robert Pinsky, who reads great, and I love hearing him read.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain people you love hearing read, you know, and I heard a story about Charles Bukowski. A sailor came in to buy a book of his poetry. He goes, turn it off, he sounds like a fag. That's what he heard. That's what he thought of Bukowski's voice. I'm not being derogatory, that's just what the guy said.
Oh,
as soon as he heard Bukowski's voice, he didn't want to buy the tape of Bukowski reading, he just wanted the books.
Wow.
Didn't like how he sounded.
Wow.
Which, you know, it's kind of wild to me. I mean, at the same time, I understand it because I heard this great poet read his poems. His voice did not match the writing.
Well,
it's kind of funny. He couldn't pull off his own poem.
He should hire somebody to read it for him.
It's like, excuse me, sir, your poem's great. You suck at reading it. Yeah, that won't go over well. It's just
I don't think I'm good at reading poems either. Yeah, I don't think I'm good either.
I don't know if I am or not. I try, but I don't know because I don't like seeing myself perform. I'm happy that people like it when I do, but I'm never sure if it's done well.
Yep.
You know, I like that about it because if you're too cocky and you think everything you do is great, then you come off the wrong way, I think.
Yeah.
I don't want to come off arrogant or, you know, full of it. I just want people to understand I wrote this because I felt it. Because, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's
the delicate
the
balance,
important thing about the
definitely.
Writing.
Yeah. You're supposed to be confident, but not too confident, you know? I mean, that's sort of a message.
You're not supposed to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Nobody likes an obnoxious poet. Yeah, I mean, no. We have actors and actresses for that. Well, I shouldn't have said that.
Yep.
But yeah, but you know. But you know, in some ways, being a poet is kind of narcissistic because you want people to hear your poetry and you want people to want you to like it. You want them to like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you gotta accept that part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I think it's just part. It's like an extension of human nature, or like a. It's like amplified in poets, maybe wanting that. But
yeah.
Everybody wants acceptance in some way, you know. Depending on
well,
what
no,
their
I think we all,
their
I,
thing is.
I think we all
yeah.
do. I think we want acceptance in the way we work, in the way we write, in the way we see ourselves with our friends. You know, how we project ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to be happy with what you put out there, you know?
Yep, yep.
And it's not always going to be perfect, you know?
No.
I know that for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
We're coming close
I mean,
to the end of this, but is there anything else you'd like to mention? Any books that are coming out on the press that you want to push, promote? Any books that
yeah.
I might be having reviewed on the show soon?
You know, I'm going to mention this book that I'm reading now that I thought was really interesting. They were at the booth next to me at AWP called Atmosphere Press. It's the name of the publisher.
Oh, wow.
And I'm reading this book called I Am Not Young and I Will Die with This Car in My Garage, Poems by Blake Z. Rong, R-O-N-G. And when I saw
wow.
that title, I thought of James Dean because I just thought...
Yeah.
I am not young and I will, yeah, it just made me think of him dying in the car, but it was actually a line that that the poet found in a Craigslist ad.
Wow.
So
that's
I am
crazy.
Not
that's
young and I will die with this car in my garage. That's the name of the book. Yeah. So that's what I'm reading now.
Well, I look forward to
yep.
getting books from your press to review on the show.
Yep, I will send some along.
Yeah. And as always, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, it's fun. It's been fun.
To the rhythm.
Oh, good.
And you know, it's just when I mean, you're easy to talk to too. I mean, I knew it was going to be easy because we talked a little bit yesterday. And it's
mm-hmm.
like we've been talking off and on about certain during the pandemic. We got in touch and started talking, and I remember that.
Yeah, that was nice.
And,
yeah, thanks for reaching out. It was always good to have people to talk to. Definitely.
Yeah, no, I mean during the pandemic, we're all reaching out to like find you know people you know shared our same things and your poetry, and then you also mentioned running.
Yep.
So it kind of it's interesting how things fall into place that way.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yeah,
yes,
thanks
well,
a lot
glad
for
you're
coming
back.
On.
Yep.
And I will send you a link to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your night.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right, now I'm going to mention one product I want to mention, and this is the review. Psychotic from Insane Labs. When I take it in the morning before I work out at the gym, gives me a nice pump, and it actually works all the way into my running. That's why I bring it up, because it helps with my running. When you first take it, it'll get you a little jittery, and that's fine. You get past the jitters, then it's more about how it helps you perform, for me, that is. And I love the product. I like Insane Labs, and this is a product that I would, you know, promote. I mean, I use it every day, and it gives me a good pickup. And yeah, that's the review. Insane Labs Psychotic. Look it up. Try it out. It's a good product for lifting and running actually. And this Saturday we will be having Connie Williams and a runner to be named. My name is Rafael Alvarado. This is Poet Runner. Thank you for listening.